Barry, good morning. Thanks so much for being on with us. I know it's late afternoon as far as your internal clock works, but I appreciate you being on with me.
Absolutely. In this business, highly successful means that they're still paying us and we're still showing up, and so far, so good. But, yeah, I'm glad to be on with you. Anytime I get a chance to be on with you, it's like found money, Chris. You know
that. No, I'm sorry. There is no money to be found when you're on with me. That's it.
Well, just theoretically speaking, of course.
Theoretically speaking, a good thing. All right, I want to talk football. I want to talk, okay. I want to get your thoughts on Alabama, the SEC, your Troy Trojans, who you've been the play-by-play voice for a number of years now. But let's get to the story, okay? Saw it on Twitter yesterday. The Troy Messenger has the story. The athletic director, John Hartwell, Troy University, says the university is in negotiations with beer companies to offer beer at this year's home football games. I turn to you for your response truly on our Bud Light hotline presented by Green Beverage.
And that's one of the beers that will be served. It has been floated up there before. There's a couple of things that really surprised me about it. Number one, this has been a policy since baseball season. And it was, for lack of a better word, a trial run during baseball season just to see. And there were no problems. As a matter of fact, there were fewer problems in terms of alcohol-related incidents than there have ever been, because it's policed, because it's controlled, and there were no problems at all. And I knew at the time, we talked with John Hartwell about it extensively, about the reasoning that went into it, and there was some negative reaction to it, as you can imagine. But a couple of things about it. Number one is that Troy now becomes the eighth school in the Sun Belt Conference to serve beer at their football games. I did not know that. South Alabama does it. Louisiana Lafayette, not only do they do it, but they serve all different kinds of alcoholic beverages. So
that's a given, though. That's Lafayette.
Well,
that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can get beer at Toys R Us.
The thing that I thought was interesting is that the first time I went to the Cajun Dome where they play basketball.
Right.
I mean, in the back, it looks like Vegas under there. You've got more of a selection of everything. They've got alcoholic beverages I've never heard of before. You can get a fuzzy navel at a Louisiana Lafayette game. So, you know, the point being is that this is something that has been part of the Sun Belt Conference for a while now, which I had been unaware of. And to hear and to look at some of the empirical evidence, this is a common thing all across college football. There are schools that are embracing it, that are larger schools than Troy. There are schools that are now having to issue a stance on it, either positively or negatively, and in the past they never really had to think about it. Well, Chris, they're thinking about it now. I do believe that this is a business move for Troy. They didn't make a lot of money off of beer sales in baseball. That's not necessarily the point. But I do think they'll make a significant amount of money with beer sales at football games. And I do think with their policy of serving it and with their extra security and in adjudicating the whole thing, I do think that it will be a better atmosphere than just fans, you know, going out and drinking up in the parking lot and showing up drunk at the game. I like the way in which they're doing it, and I do think it's a coming thing, not only, you know, in the Sun Belt Conference, but all across the country.
And Barry, I mean, let's face it, the reality is, like you said, I mean, in people that want to do that, okay, that want to go that route, are drinking throughout the course of the day as they're at their tailgate parties. Look, it's gone on for years, every level.
Right.
You got especially kids, and when I say kids, I'm talking college-age kids, hopefully those that are of legal age, that are trying to sneak that in. And you take a little pressure off things at the gate, do you not, if you have it available for sale inside?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. So you take some pressure off, because ticket takers become, you know, de facto policemen, and that's not necessarily the right way to do it. But at all, it's a big issue, and it's an issue that Troy specifically has spent a lot of time and a lot of man hours and resources in researching as to whether or not it's the right thing to do, how do you handle it, what kind of money you can make. But, Chris, it also admittedly speaks to a larger issue all across college football, and I've heard Bill Battle talk about it. I surely have heard Jay Jacobs talk about it. Is providing a better, and I'm trying to think of the catchphrase, a better fan experience.
Right.
The competition that Alabama faces in attendance is not necessarily from Georgia or from Auburn or from Tennessee or from Jacksonville State or Samford. The competition Alabama and Auburn face from ticket sales and from attendance is high-definition television. Being able to sit in front of your own big television, your high-def TV, you've got all the beer you want to drink over there in your own refrigerator, you've got your own restrooms, you've got your own Wi-Fi, you can do anything you want to do at home. And meanwhile, if you go to specifically an Alabama game or an Auburn game, you've got travel costs, it's hot out there, sometimes the Wi-Fi doesn't work, and you can't track other games, you got sweaty people around you, you have to pay for the amenities, the beer and the food and stuff like that, or the drinks and the food. And what they're trying to do, what the real push among athletics department is not specifically just, hey, we got to sell booze, it's we've got to provide more of a fan experience for our patrons. And this is just one small aspect of what everybody's trying to do now across college football.
Barry McKnight, the voice of the Troy University Trojans, our guest here on Tide 99.1. You also hear Barry weekday mornings in drive time in Montgomery along with John Longshore there on WMSP Radio. As for the fan experience, one of the things that's been floated out, June Jones from Conference USA, or I guess, excuse me, now the American Athletic Conference in SMU, throwing out the idea, going to the spring, if you're not among the what's going to be the Power Five, the Big Five, whatever phrase you want to use for it. Sunbelt Conference, some very successful programs, Troy being one of them. Does the idea of spring football sound appealing to anybody that you talk to within that university?
That's just crazy talk. Nobody will even consider that. With June Jones, I think his perspective on it is he's treating college football like television programming. It's which to me smacks a little bit insincere on his part. It's not necessarily looking out for the benefit of collegiate athletes. It's not looking out for the benefit of the fans. It's not doing anything other than say, hey, we can't compete against the Power Five on Saturday afternoons in the fall. I know that people are crying out for football in the spring. You know, the USFL, I used to love watching the USFL, and that was the reason why, is because it's football in the spring. You don't get it anywhere else. If you want to have television programming in the spring, that's one thing. If you want to section off half of the Division One membership to another time period of the year, that's not what's best for football. That may be something that the TV people like, but it doesn't serve the student-athlete. It doesn't serve the fan base. It fractures college football for the sake of television and for the sake of exposure, and I don't think that's ever even going to get seriously considered, much less, you know, put forth and voted upon.
Larry Blatney had quite a run at the end of the first decade of the 21st century. You look, and now it's 2010, the last time the Trojans claimed a league title. Are they equipped to contend once again? I know the voters have them outside of the top three or four, but can Troy be good enough to maybe get back to the New Orleans Bowl?
They can be. The biggest difficulty they've had has been on defense. If you look at the numbers over since, 2008, 2007, when Troy, 2006, when Troy really started going to the fast-paced no-huddle offense, their numbers, particularly over the last 3 years when they've struggled, their offensive numbers have been among the top 15 in the country every year. Last year, they had a stupendous offensive season, but defensively, they were not competitive. That needs to change. I think it has changed. They've gotten some junior college guys, some quick help in there, and their schedule is a lot more manageable. There are no Thursday home games. There are six home games. There are eight games within the state of Alabama. So they do have a chance. They lose one of the top six all-time passing quarterbacks in NCAA history in Corey Robinson. That obviously is a huge factor involved in the whole thing. But really, as much as anything, in terms of the infrastructure on college football at Troy University, what's really needed to change and what's starting to change is when Troy first got into the league, and had such a commitment to football, had been so successful in NAIA, Division II, 1AA. Football was extraordinarily important to Troy University, and it wasn't necessarily so elsewhere around the Sun Belt Conference. Troy would right. just had a better commitment than anybody in the league for those years to football. Well, since that time and during that time, other schools have caught up. Louisiana Lafayette has a terrific new indoor practice facility. They've been making facilities upgrades all across the league, and Troy, by and large, football-wise, has not kept up. So it's not as though Troy necessarily is falling back to the rest of the league. It's that, you know, a rising tide floats all boats, and everybody else in the league is, I think, taking Troy's blueprint and pursued it and has caught up. Now Troy is working on a project to fill in the north end zone with skyboxes, brand new coaches' offices, locker rooms, athletic training rooms. That's been a long time coming. That's been a crying need for years, and they're finally getting that started, and it's about time.